Hey everyone, Brian from All Day Ruckoff here, and today we've got an interview with Tim Galloway, who is a professional photographer. He's taken a ton of pictures at Go Ruck events, and him and I have been talking for the past, 4 years or so since he first started taking pictures at Go Ruck events. He's taken some just phenomenal photographs, and he most recently was flown out by Go Ruck to photograph the New York HTL for 9/11. We talk about shadowing events, what makes a good shadow, what shadows shouldn't do. We talk about the events that he's taken pictures at. We talk about the events he's taken part in, his first event. And then we also talk a little bit towards the end on gear, the kind of photography gear he uses, the things that he likes, and how he's turned his GR0 and GR1 into camera bags. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. It was a ton of fun talking with him, and you're listening to the All Day Ruckoff podcast, episode number 118. Thank you so much for downloading. Thank you so much for all the support. I really hope you enjoy this interview with Tim. So I'm really curious, how did you find Go Ruck? How did you get involved? And, you know, what made you want to sign up for an event?
This was years ago, right? So I'll kind of jump ahead and come back. So my first class was class 991 in Detroit. And to give this a little bit of perspective, I'm looking at the Go Ruck post right now from Cleve. So the Go Ruck Challenge is what I normally call it, which is now called the Go Ruck Cuff. The class that was in New York this weekend was 3788. So my class was 991. So I got into Go Ruck because I was training Krav Maga really heavily. I was training 15 to 20 hours a week with Krav and just doing other stuff, you know, active stuff and kind of like a little bit of running and walking and whatever with friends. And some of the folks there are like, we're going to go to this crazy event. We start seeing these backpacks showing up at our training center. And I'm like, you know, what is this? Like, you know, what's going on? Why are people like, all of a sudden you're seeing people on the training floor with backpacks. And it's like, what the hell, man? Like, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, we're doing this event. I'm like, okay. They're like, yeah, it's like this thing where it's like special forces dudes are leading it. And like, you get your ass kicked overnight and it's, you know, you do all this crazy stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. So I go on YouTube and I'm looking at these old, you know, they're now old videos of the Go Ruck event. And I'm like, no way. I'm like, this looks like totally rad and totally terrible. So a couple of the instructors at the, Krav Maga place I was training at, they come back and they're like, oh, we did it. And there's a couple other like people who I trained with that did it. And they're like, it was a blast. It was really good. You know, I saw the patches, like the OG patches. And I was like, man, like that looks really cool. So I watched the videos and I got like super pumped on it. Like I distinctly remember watching the Go Ruck Challenge video that was recorded in New York years and years and years ago. And man, that got me. So I just got done hanging out with Cadre for a weekend. So, but like watching that video got me hard, man. Like I was just like totally like, I'm in it. Like, let's go. So I did 991 and that was a pretty decent sized class considering it was in like 2013 or 14. I think there was like 90 participants and 3 Cadre, and it was Cadre Burt, Cadre Andy, and Ranger Jason. So it was a really fun event.
So that first event you did, when you finished it, were you still excited about Go Ruck? I know there's a lot of people who finish their first event and they're like, man, that was something. Now I'm done. Like where did you land at the end of the first one?
Oh dude, at the end. And like, again, I'm going to kind of do the same thing I did for the previous question, right? Bert did something very like unorthodox with that event. He gave us our patches after the welcoming party. And he was like, these are yours to lose. So we all kept our patches in our rucks or in our pockets or whatever. He's like, you know, you need to keep these at a place that's secure but easily accessible, easily and quickly accessible. So we were carrying our patches around the entire event, right? And so he gives it to you, and you make this promise. You're looking this dude in the eye, shaking his hand, and you're making a promise that I'm going to be here in 12 hours, 13 hours, and I'm going to earn this. So at Endex, you know, we're doing push-ups on this little auditorium down in Hart Plaza in downtown Detroit. And, you know, we're all beat down. But, you know, on the way back, we were, like, having so much fun, like, on that. You know, you generally get, like, the long, like, little taste of the long walk back to Endex, you know. And we're all feeling good, and, like, you know, we're beat down, but we're happy. And I was like, man, like, I'm sore, but I'm, like, I'm totally good with this. Like, I want to do more. So, like, at the end of it, I was, like, you know, of course you're hurting. Everybody's hurting, but I wasn't discouraged by any stretch of the imagination to not do it again. I was totally in a place of, man, I just survived that, and I just did that with my team, and I'm like, I want to do that again with my team. So
that's a good spot to be in at the end of an event.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and one thing that I've realized, like, I've kind of, at that time when I've done a few events at that time, like, I really feel like I was at, like, my peak of fitness that I've been at. And, like, throughout my life, I haven't been, like, a really fit person. But, and I'm realizing that the fitness thing isn't really a huge, the fitness thing isn't such a large contributing factor to completing an event. The mental toughness it has a higher importance in it. It's mostly the recovery, at least in my mind. The recovery from an event has to do more with your fitness, because it's like, it dictates how soon you can get back on your feet and start doing things. So being there and just having, like, the mental mindset of, like, I did that, I completed it, I know I can do it, so I'm going to be able to do it again. You know, if everybody can get, like, a little bit of that, then it's like, it's one of those things where you can just build on it. So yeah, having that mindset at Endex is great.
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, the mental toughness is really what gets you through the event. And then I think it's kind of the physical toughness which determines how you're going to feel for that week after the event.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's with me, it's like, I'm just stubborn and dumb, man. Like, I just, you know, if you get to that point where you say, I'm not stopping, I'm here to the end, stick with that, and you're good. Just do one rep at a time, one step at a time, man. You know, your ruck hurts, adjust it. You know, your feet hurt, well, deal with it. You know, it's just being dumb and persistent.
That's a good way to describe it. Dumb and persistent.
Yeah, man. It's just about, you know, being able to shut off all of the things and to not listen to all the bullshit that's going on in your mind, and just, like, and remain ignorant to what your body is telling you, and remain ignorant to what all of these quote unquote sensible things are telling you, and shutting all of that off, staying ignorant and dumb to that, and persisting and moving forward into the goal that you've set for yourself.
That's phenomenal advice. And it's, you know, it's what works. Just shutting off. I've noticed that at events, you know, the number of events, just, you know, you're feeling something, just kind of just shut that whole part down and just keep on rocking.
Yeah. And two, you know, the current mantra, right, that I've been hearing a lot is the, you know, they, during the brief and everything, like, before and during the events, you know, hey, you know, what are we going to tell people that are asking us what's going on? You know, Cadre says, you know, of course you have people, like, pulling up in their cars, like, yo, what's up, honking their horns, like, you know, what's going on, what are you guys doing, you know, and so everybody's like, you know, well, what do we say? So what we say is, this is a team building endurance event modeled after special operations training. Right? Succinct, to the point, easy, right? So the first thing is team building, right? So you're in that spot where it's like, I don't want to pick up my feet anymore. I don't want to be into this sandbag. I don't want to be in this water. I really want the sand out of my ass crack. Whatever it is, it's like, just look and, like, see your teammate that's also under a sandbag, and you go, you know what? I'm helping them out, so I'm good. Like, I can do this for a little bit longer. I can carry this for two more blocks. So that way, you know, one of my people in the back gets that moment where it's like, they don't have to be under it.
I mean, that's one of the best parts about those events, right? I mean, you get to give that to someone else, and then 3 hours later, you're sucking wind on something that you had no idea you weren't even good at, and someone else is there grabbing something off you and helping you out. It's awesome.
That's the point.
Absolutely.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point. You know, I've seen recently some photos that are coming up, like, you know, this is what GoRuck's about. And they show somebody who's just had their, you know, their dick knocked in the dirt. And, you know, and it's like, no, man, that's not at all what it's about. Cause like when I look at my photos and from the events that I photographed, the photos that I see that make me go, fuck, that's what GoRuck's about, is somebody that is pulling a sandbag off of somebody's back. Somebody that's pulling somebody up off the ground because they're tired and they need help. Somebody that's got their arm up under someone's armpit, helping them move along because their ruck's heavy. Somebody pulling a ruck off and putting it on their chest, their teammate, so they get a minute. Like that, that's what it's about. It's not about like, cool, man, I can take punishment for 15 hours straight, 24 hours straight, 48 hours straight. Like, no. Like, you want to do that, go to selection. Fine. But, like, these events, like, it's about, like, building that team and making those connections with those people there and building them up through being beaten down.
And I'm so glad that you brought up your pictures here, because I agree that I love seeing those pictures where it's one person helping another, and you're like, that, you know, seeing that at an event is what makes me smile, and you get that same smile seeing those pictures. So looking at those pictures, I mean, when did you decide, I mean, obviously you're a professional photographer, when did you decide to start taking pictures of GoRuck events?
I actually broke the rules and I shadowed an event before I participated in one. So, you know, I kind of, that's a little mark on my record, right? Because earlier on, you know, it was like, you know, in order to shadow, you have to have done an event. And it was kind of a stigma. We're like, you know, you haven't done an event, you don't know what the event's about, you shouldn't be out there shadowing one. So there was a group of people that were at my training center that went and did it. And they were in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I'm like, I'm going to go shadow. And the owner of the training facility was also there shadowing. And that was class 771. And I went out. I spent the entire duration there, made photos the entire duration. And, you know, with my background as a photojournalist, I'm frequently in situations where proximity is pertinent. And there's a phrase that I've known of for years, a quote from, his name's Robert Capa. And Robert Capa is considered one of the greatest war photographers of all time. And he was in, like, World War II, Spanish Civil War. Like, this was a long time ago. And he said, if your photos aren't good enough, you're not close enough. And they can be evaluated in a couple different ways. I don't need to really get into that. But in my mind at that point, it was like, I need to be physically closer. My proximity needs to be closer. So I'll kind of, you know, feel out the situations that I would have to go into. You know, sometimes with what I do, I'm with people on some of like the most horrible days of their lives. You know, I've gone into homes up here in Flint, Michigan, where I live. And you know, these people are really struggling, man. Like, they can't even drink the water that's coming out of their sinks because they're getting poisoned by it. They're getting skin rashes and stuff. And going into their homes and having them tell their stories and allow me in there, a complete stranger, right? Like, that's atypical. That's atypical behavior of human beings. Because whenever we struggle with things, we tend to internalize them and only speak them to people that are close to us. So I kind of have, you know, developed and really honed in on and like sharpened the skill of paying attention to how people are reacting to me and you know, reading body language and just paying attention, right? You know, we can all do this. So it's, you know, it was really a matter of like, okay, how does this cadre feel about having me around? Okay, he's cool with it. Fine. How does this cadre feel about me getting a little closer to the group? He's cool with it. Fine. So I was just kind of like working my way in, talking with the cadre a little bit. And then I would just kind of notice that like he was okay with it, right? So I'm not talking to participants. I'm not having a blast with them, you know, but I'm still making photos. And it's okay with the cadre. And there was, it was myself and one other shadow. I mean, this was, GoRuck was still pretty young then. You know, it wasn't like the size of the events that they have now. And it wasn't like, you know, now at these events, like when I was at the Detroit Heavy last month, dude, there were two dozen shadows. And I was like, what, you know, what is this? Like, it's like, it looked like there was a block party. And I was like, there's so many people here just kind of like hanging out, like, yeah, you know, we're here to watch you guys get your asses kicked. We're here for the welcoming party. And, you know, fine, that's cool. It's a spectacle. That's the whole point of being a shadow, is going there to observe. Like, fine. But it's not, when I first shadowed, it wasn't like that. It was a small group of people with like one or two shadows. So it's kind of, that dynamic has changed a bit.
It has. And it's really interesting that you bring that up, because, I mean, my first event was 053 in Seattle.
Wow.
Over the years, I mean, that one, we had, you know, one shadow, and that shadow had completed class 001. And then he later went on to complete the beta selection. But so, I mean, no one really knew about GoRuck, and that was the one shadow. And then my next number of classes, there were zero shadows, and then, you know, it turned into one and then two, and then all of a sudden you get events like what you just described where 20 people show up.
Yeah. And you know, that's not a bad thing, you know, because it's like, okay, like this is the community that's building and that's growing, right? Like this is, you know, a lot of these shadows are people who do OCRs. These are people who do adventure races. These are people who do stuff like Death Race and TPK. You know, these are all finishers. These are all people who have done the GoRuck events. These are people who have been patched out, like, and they're there to support their crew. And that's totally rad. And that's part of, it goes to show you that the community is growing, and that's a great thing. So it was just like kind of a, it was when I started taking photos of these events, it was a different, like the environment was different. The community was different. It was a little tighter. It was a little smaller.
I really like what you said there. And I think that's a really interesting point to look at, because as a shadow, in some regards, you're taking a weekend night, you know, out of your weekend, and you're showing up to an event that you're not participating in. And I mean, obviously when you shadow, you're taking pictures, but not everyone who shadows takes pictures. And, you know, like you said, some are just there to provide a, you know, a little bit of support. And I mean, I think that says a lot about the community.
Yeah, you know, and I do the best that I can to, okay, so we're all biased, right? So when I'm home, when I'm in Detroit and I'm shadowing an event in Detroit, it's completely different than when I'm not, like, when I'm not home, when, like, people of, you know, like, my GoRuck crew or family or the people that I've done events with aren't participating. I have a different connection with them, you know, and it's like I try to remain as neutral as possible. When I'm shadowing an event, like I try not to speak with the participants. I try to, you know, keep my distance, you know, my emotional and mental distance, not my physical distance. And I try to just kind of let them do their thing, but while I'm still doing my job. But in Detroit, it's kind of like, all right, man, like you're doing a great job. Keep it up. Like given like, you know, that look of like, you know, you can, someone's under a sandbag and you look at him, you can give him a nod. Like you're doing good, like that can change things. Like I remember that from my second event. I did Moog Mile. I did the Challenge Light with Kadri Mickey, and that was in Detroit. I can't remember what year it was. I think it might have been 14. I don't remember the class number, but I remember having like shadows there too, and it's like people that you knew, and like you kind of look over, like you'd be like suffering, man. Like you'd be, you know, on the struggle bus, and like you kind of look over and like they get, you know, you get a nod, and it's like, okay, like that's a little bump, and you know, it's like I can continue doing what I'm doing. So yeah, having a shadow, like having that there, that like little bit of support can be hugely beneficial.
Absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about. You can say a lot with two eyes and just a slight, you know, nod of the head.
Yeah.
It can turn an entire attitude around.
Absolutely. No doubt. Dude, it's like somebody putting their hand under your ruck for a minute.
Yeah.
And just giving your ruck like a little lift just so you get that pressure off your shoulders, just for that moment. And it's like, damn.
And even just that moment, I mean, even if it's under there for 5 seconds, it's just that reminder that like, hey man, we're here too. You're not alone. This is all an event. We're a team. We got this.
Yeah, absolutely. So that, I mean, and you know, the shadows are not part of the team, right? Shadows don't get patched. Shadows don't carry weight. Shadows don't do all the mileage. Shadows hang out and have beer and assorted drinks and snacks and whatever, right? They're not part of the team. Shadows are not supposed to be part of the team, period. And like there's nothing after that. Shadows are not part of the team. But you still get that like little bit of, you can get a little bump. It's like, man, my wife's here, my girlfriend's here, my husband's here, my boyfriend's here, my brother's here, like, you know, whoever, like they're running a little bit of support for us. And you look over and you're like, you know, we all have our reasons why we do these events, right? And we all have like, we all carry things inside that other people don't know about. But it's like, you have that, if you have like a person there that's kind of just watching, even just for a little bit, and you see him, it kind of gives you that reminder. It gives you that bump, that little push.
And would this be a good time, do you think, to talk about the do's and don'ts of shadowing, since we just kind of went into things a shadow should do and shouldn't do?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
So you're the, I guess, the expert shadower between the two of us, because I've only, shadowed a handful of events and I haven't been there the whole time for any of them. So I would love to hear your perspective on that.
I think the first thing that needs to happen before this conversation is there needs to be a clear line and a differentiation between what I do and a shadow. Because what I do is not what the shadow should be doing. Because so recently, I've been like super fortunate. I got a message from Nick at HQ, and he wanted me to start photographing some of these events if I was willing to. And I said, hell yes, absolutely, 100%. So I am there for GoRuck. I am there as a freelance photographer on GoRuck's behalf. So it's kind of like I have the access that the cadre have, but none of the influence, if that makes sense. So I can be moving around in the team. I can be, you know, in the team's faces with my cameras. I generally know the movements. I know the durations. I know, you know, the points they're trying to get to. Essentially, it's like I'm an extension of HQ for shooting, right? So I just wanted to be sure that we preface this conversation with that, because how a shadow should act and how I act are two completely different things. So as far as shadowing, right, like you're supposed to, you know, there's a reason they're called shadows, right? Shadows follow, right? Shadows never lead us. Shadows follow. They're silent. You know, so it's like you're gonna have a conversation. Yeah, man, you're there for the duration. First of all, I have never seen somebody fully shadow a heavy. I've done it. I shadowed the heavy in Detroit, which was for GoRuck, fine, whatever. But I also went down to Phoenix and shadowed an HCLS, and I was there for the entire duration aside from 6 hours of that event. So, and I've never seen anybody shadow an entire event before. An entire heavy or longer. And then I've totally seen, this last weekend, there was a group of shadows in New York that did the tough, that shadowed the tough. And of course, there are shadows for the light. So shadowing is kind of like a light beer. You know, you're getting the flavor, but not the calories. So you get to kind of like see what's up. But you need to stay back. You need to stay out of the way. You need to differentiate yourself between, you know, yourself and the group, right? So shadows show up and they look a lot like participants. You know what I mean? Like they come in, they've got their rucks on, right? You know, they got their GoRuck caps on. Cool. They got their, you know, GoRuck pants on or their GoRuck shorts on or their Mac Vs, and, you know, they look the part. It's hard to tell who a shadow is and who a participant is sometimes, because, hey man, you know what? I'm going to go follow this group for 12 hours overnight. So I don't want to just go out there with like my purse. You know, I want a backpack. I want a ruck. I'm going to have some water in there. I'm going to have snacks in there. I'm going to have, you know, a drink in there. I'm going to have, you know, whatever in there. And it's like, okay, well, you look like a participant. So you need to keep your distance, because especially in places when that are like highly populated, like New York City, right? Or any major city, right? There's tons of road crossings. And as you know, safety in these events is paramount, right? Before every event, cadre says, here's safety brief. This is what has to happen every time, every movement. This is how it goes. We need to be safe. Okay. So when you have a team that's moving through a city, right, and you're going block to block, that's tough, especially if you have a big team, right? Are you going to cross 126 people across a crosswalk in one go? What do you think? Right. That's a lot of movement. And when you got, you know, thousands of pounds of sandbags and rucks and people are tired, like, okay, like you got to have a road guard posted because the likelihood that you're going to make a 12-second crosswalk is pretty unlikely with that many people. So you got a road guard out there, posted out, right? Like there's traffic and they're, you know, stopping cars and stuff. And then you have to worry about the road guard being able to differentiate between the shadows and the team. So then the road guard's hanging out, like everybody can buy. And it's like, no, man, these are shadows. Like you can go. Like, don't worry about them. That's, you know, they're responsible for themselves. So the safety thing and the distance thing is, you know, is hugely important. And I think that, and I'm not trying to be like a downer, right? Like, I'm just trying to, you know, share what I've seen in the past. And it's like shadows are supposed to be observers and that's it. So with that, you don't need to be close to observe these events. And when you're doing, you know, when you're hanging on right at the tail end, or if you're mixing in with the team, you're making it potentially dangerous for any of these teammates, the folks who are participating because of like road crossings and stuff like that. And like, that's one of the big things that I've noticed. And man, like talking with, like interacting with cadre when they're running an event, like you got to give them their space, man. Like, hang back, observe, do your thing, watch the spectacle. But it's like when you go to a performance, you know, like when you pay to go see a show, you're not up in the show trying to be part of the show. You know, you have to, you're there to observe. Like we touched on previously, that occasional moral support, like just that little glance, that side eye, that nod, like that's great. But like being physically proximate, like close is something that like, you should, you know, be very mindful of while you're, you know, in proximity to these events, because it can be potentially hazardous and you're really like kind of messing with the team members' heads a bit. You know, it's frequent that team members will be like, hey man, can you help me with this weight? And I'm like, I can't, I'm sorry. And they look at me like, well, you're a dick. I'm like, no, like I can't, like my camera. And they're like, oh, you're not part of the team. Like, right. Like, I can't help you with the weight. Like, I would love to help you with that. Don't get me wrong. I would love to shoulder that sandbag for you, but, you know, that's not my role here. So then you have that with shadows because they're so damn close. So that was me harping about shadows proximity for like 5 minutes. How'd you like that?
I mean, it's definitely worth noting. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where as the event goes on, I mean, the majority of cadre now at the beginning of events will, you know, say, who's here to shadow, come over and talk to me. And they'll lay out some ground mm-hmm. rules. But mm-hmm. once you get 2 hours in, 3 hours in, I mean, sometimes, you know, ground, you know, a beer, two beers later, some of the ground rules get forgotten a little bit or,
yep.
you know, things happen. So
yeah,
I think it's definitely worth calling out. And I'm trying to think of an analogy for it because I always jump to analogies, but, I mean, the people who are there for the event paid for the event and they, mm-hmm. you know, paid for the GORUCK challenge or the tough, the light, you know, whatever it's called, whenever the person listening to this is listening to this, if GORUCK's rebranded that again, but the shadows are there for free, you know, they didn't pay anything. So
yeah, it's, you know, it'd be like going to a movie theater and paying for a movie or better yet, it'd be like going to a play. Paying for a play and like you're sitting in the front row and you have this beautiful spectacle in front of you, right? And then somebody just gets up and runs on stage in front of you and ruins it. Like they're intermingling with the interaction that shouldn't happen. It's kind of like a streaker, you know? Like you're there, you're in it, and then somebody just like blips in and it's like, what, you know, what the fuck is this person doing? You know, they're pulling away from that spectacle, from that interaction. I mean, it's a fine line. You know, it's one of those things that you have to be like really mindful and cognizant of. And it's like, you're there as an observer. And look, I mean, I'm about Shadows helping out with like supply drops, right? Like when we were in Detroit on the heavy, the sun came up, it was beating down pretty good. It got kind of toasty. I mean, it wasn't Florida warm, but it was warm enough. And the team had been going for probably close to 20 hours at that point. And somebody on the team, their wife or family or something, they brought a cooler out and they had, you know, Gatorade and cold drinks and stuff. And Cadre's like, all right, supply drop, you know, get what you need. And that's great. And that's incredible. And that's super helpful. And, you know, and a lot of times it's like, it's kind of necessary. People don't bring electrolytes. They forget, like, you know, they're trying to hydrate, but they just can't hydrate. You know, there's so many reasons why that would be helpful. And sometimes like, that's great. And if Cadre allow it, you know, and if they just kind of, the Shadows keep their distance, but it's kind of a quote unquote planned thing, then that's fantastic. And it's super helpful to the team. But and then it's like, but that's it. Like, you had your moment. That's cool. Team appreciates it. Thank you. Move on. Or hang out, keep your distance, and just watch.
I think the planned portion of that's really important because Cadre plan events and they have ideas of what they want the team to do, of how they want the team to feel or things they want them to experience at certain portions of the event. You know, there's certain times where the Cadre will purposely want the team to be going through some tough stuff. And so they'll plan out, you know, a couple logs or, you know, a shortened time hack, you know, something that's really going to make the team work for it. And so that's probably not the moment when the Cadre wants you lugging out a cooler of water and, you know, some snacks for the team. So planning that out with the Cadre in advance is the way to go.
Yeah. And you know, and that's the thing. So if a Shadow can show up somewhere along the route, then it's likely the Cadre communicated with that person, right? Because Cadre go in, you know, they're there, you know, the day before at least, right? And they're going throughout, they're doing recon. Like they're figuring out like, how can we make this event the best for where it's at? Or how can we make this event really good and it's different than the last time it was here? So it's like, you know, thought goes into these routes. It's not like they're just like, you know, pulling up Google Maps and going, we'll just go here, I guess. You know, it's coordinated and it's thought out and it's planned. So if a Shadow knows a location, they've obviously been in communication with Cadre and it's okay, right? So there were multiple spots in Detroit where it was like Shadows would pop up and that's okay. Like, cool, like Cadre letting them know, great, watch, stand back, let the team do their thing and watch. If Cadre says, you know, it's cool to bring a cooler, fantastic, great, helps the team out. They get a little bump, cool, you know? Like I'm totally game for that. It's just when the boundaries are forgotten or completely disregarded that it becomes an issue. And which is, you know, it's hard for me to say that, right? Because I move amongst the team a lot, you know, and I'm in their faces a lot, but my role there is different.
And so the way you move amongst the team, I mean, that's gotta be the way that you shoot the event. It has to be pretty different than, you know, some of the normal, I guess, in quote, normal photography gigs that you have. Are there things that you like about shooting GoRuck events that, you know, you don't get from your other shooting gigs?
My first my first trite response to that would be mileage. So this kind of ties back to like my history as a photographer. So when I started shooting, my intent, and you know, I still dream of this. My intent was to document conflict, was to embed with groups and just go document conflict. And that has like a pretty deep history within me. My dad and his brothers were all in World War II. And you know, I've always kind of like felt that weight on my shoulders. But I never like heeded the call. And that was due to a lot of, you know, personal things and maturity and, ability and stuff like that. So, but when I started shooting, I was like, man, like I wanted to go out and document, embed with like groups and, you know, within the armed forces and show what they have to deal with, what they have to survive. Like the images that we've seen from like Fallujah, right? They're so intense. And like the Marlboro Marine, like, you know that photo, right?
Yeah. And I can link to it in the show notes so people who don't know it can get it.
So the Marlboro Marine, for the life of me, this makes me like, horrible, but I can't remember the name of the photographer, but there's this photo of this Marine, and he's got a Marlboro, it's like hanging out of his mouth, and he's just like covered in like dirt and blood, and just kind of like he's gone, like he's got the 1,000-yard stare, you know, he's been through, it may have been during Fallujah, I'm not sure, and it's just like, it's such a vivid image in my mind, and like Don McCullough, who's has these phenomenal Vietnam war era images, and James Knockway and like his all like the conflict and stuff, and like his like the 9/11 images that he made were just, you know, like heartbreaking and gut-wrenching, and just like it's just like this phenomenal documentation of atrocities that we need to see. We need to see this, and we need to experience this as best we can without having been there, right? We have to have some sort of visceral and experience with this. We have to have some sort of connection with this, because if we don't, then bad shit keeps happening, right? If we don't, we never learn. So like that's like where my heart's at. And so I went and I did these, you know, GORUCK events. I did the events, I shadowed the one first, and I was like, man, like this kind of in my mind is like, this can kind of help me like prepare for, you know, the potentiality of me going out and embedding with somebody, you know, because long days, mileage, just going and going and going, you know? So I was like, man, like that's kind of like, if I can, you know, if I can do this, and it's like one more feather in my hat where it's like, okay, like it's one more step. It's a kind of like, it's almost like training, you know, where it's like, okay, yeah, man, I've had those, you know, weekends where you've done knocked down 50 miles. Like I've done it. I'm good. You know, so now I can, you know, so if I ever get the opportunity to go and embed, like I know I can make the mileage. I know I can make a mileage with weight on my back, you know, so it's just like one of those things. So that's kind of what it offered me. That's kind of different, you know, so the mileage was kind of a joke, but also, you know, kind of serious. And I've grown fond of the community, even though like I've kind of had like I've had a little bit of a respite from it. But I've grown fond of this community and like seeing these events where, you know, people are offering up themselves to help another person, who are willingly saying, you know what, I'm going to suffer a little bit more so I can make your day just a little bit easier. And like being able to see that and document and shoot that is like, you know, it's fulfilling for me.
I love how that mileage started out as kind of a joke, but it got a little more real.
Yeah. It's kind of silly and it's kind of funny, but man, I mean, it's the only way you're going to get good at doing mileage is by doing mileage. You know, and it's kind of, it's silly, but at the same time, like it's applicable to, you know, where I would, you know, like to navigate to at some point, even though I'm getting old, but I'm too old. I mean, you know, with the mind that I have now, you know, if I could transplant my brain to back when I was, you know, when I was 18 and I saw the towers go down, man, if I could transplant my brain back then, there would have been, you know, no question. But, you know, we, as, you know, time is cruel, right? We always, you know, we can look back and say, man, I woulda, shoulda, coulda, but, you know, didn't.
So you recently shot in HTL in New York for 9/11. How did that go?
I'm still kind of, I got the sausage calves still, you know, I got the blistered feet. I got my, been getting my ruck wraps out and wrapping up the knees and the calves and the ankles and kind of getting that rehab in. So I'm still, it's still pretty fresh. But when I found out that I was able to go out and shoot the 9/11 HTL in New York City, man, like my heart's heavy, you know, and it was such a great experience. You have to give me a minute with this one, man. This is heavy for me. So I'm not a city person by any stretch of the imagination, right? Like, I've got to go to Chicago for a family obligation, somewhat frequently. And, you know, I really don't like going into cities. And, like, if I can avoid them, I will. So I've been through New York. When I say through New York, I mean, I've driven through. Years ago, I worked for a moving company, and I stayed in Jersey and hopped a bridge and moved some people into New York and hopped back out. So I hadn't been into New York, and I had never seen Ground Zero. And shooting this event was such an opportunity for me. And it was such a, like, I almost feel guilty that I got paid for it. And this is, you know, obviously a massive, massive city. And this event has a massive importance for us. And with the connection of Go Ruck to the, you know, the initial, like, I don't know if, I mean, I'm sure you remember, like, the original thing with Go Ruck was bridging the military and civilian communities, right? Like, that was the, you know, that was the whole thing with Go Ruck, was bridging that gap, was using it as a way to create conversations between veterans and civilians, giving civilians a taste of what the veterans have gone through. And I think that, you know, so people going into these events, like, they know what they're getting into and they know the premise behind it. So, you know, going into New York City with a group of warfighters, you know, pre and post 9/11, and then on top of that, to have people in that event that have lost family members, teammates, you know, like, people in their lives on that day, was super, super emotional and super heavy. And for me, it was super important to be there. And it was super important to knock down the miles with that team and to do as best of a job as I could to capture them honoring those that were lost. And there is this, I mean, there was a bunch of moments that were like, you know, like, who the hell's cutting onions, right? Like, I've had dust in my eye for 48 hours. But there are multiple moments throughout the course of this that were just, you know, phenomenal and, like, very heavy and very somber. And, like, one of them was, it was absolutely incredible. So Team RWB was there. Like, there's representation from, I'm not sure if it was, like, from their top tier or what, or if it was just, like, just locals or whatever. But the engine that's across from One World Trade, right across from the Memorial Park, they were unfurling a brand new Garrison flag that day. So participants in the TUF were able to go down on the street at the intersection right in front of the memorial and unfurl this giant, giant American flag. And it was just like, it was amazing to witness. And there are so many, like, you know, people are all, you know, a bunch of people, like, around watching and stuff, but the significance of that was, like, so heavy. And to see that was amazing. And then we went to, I'm terrible at remembering numbers and letters and stuff. We went to one, I think it was Ladder 15. I'm not positive on that. But they have a memorial inside their station with all the people from that station that were lost on September 11th. And, like, seeing everybody go through there and experience that and to be able to shoot that was, like, really important. And, like, the firefighter was there. We had a couple of dudes that, like, hopped in with some PT. You know, a couple of the firefighters threw on some, like, weight vests and hopped in on the PT. And, like, Cleve's over there just, like, spraying them down with the hose, like, soaking them up. Everybody's, you know, had, like, you know, and they just jumped in. But when they were done, the firefighters could, like, see that it was, like, we're not forgetting, you know? Like, it's still in our memories. Like, we're not going to forget. And we, you know, we have that appreciation for those who sacrifice and those who still do and those who are still dealing with the aftermath of it, you know. So, and, you know, people share personal stories. Like, you know, one of the guys on the team shared a story about, you know, family. And, you know, it was 3 a.m. in, like, a shady little park in New York City, man, with, like, the orange glow from the lights. And it was just, like, a super personal, heavy moment that they shared. And it was just like, it's just important, man. It's like, if I could, you know, it's important. And it's not important on a micro level. It's important on a macro level. You know, like, we don't forget World War II, right? We do not forget Pearl Harbor, right? So it would behoove us to even come close, like, to even let a little bit of the memory of September 11th to slip away. So being able to document that, you know, those hundreds of people were willing to go out and to get just like punished, you know, like the HTL class, I think was like one of the biggest HTL classes, if not the biggest class that's happened so far. I think it was like 50 plus people, you know, to have all those people, hundreds of people go out to push themselves through that to memorialize everyone that was lost was powerful. And it's amazing. And, you know, it's really rad that there's a company like GoRuck that organizes something like this to go out and do that.
There really aren't that many other companies that are putting things together like this.
There's no other companies that put it together like this, right? Like, you have, you know, so the four cadre on this were Moke Mike, DF, Cleve, and Dustin, right? So, and, you know, it's kind of stupid to say, like, you know, these are all bad dudes because, like, you know, all the cadre are, right? Because, like, the requirements to be a cadre are, you know, pretty damn high. But it's, you know, to experience an event like this, like, that's based around this memorial with dudes who have lived that life, who went out in, you know, who some of them, you know, went out in reaction. You know, like, Mocha had already been in and Dustin was already in. But, you know, DS and Cleve, you know, they went and they lived that life after that. And it's, like, really impressive and really, like, it's very important to share that with somebody who's been, you know, who's been on that. And there were firefighters there. There are people who've been in New York, you know, and that's to share that with them. For everyone else to let them know, like, yo, we still remember this. Like, that's massive.
I agree.
The End of the Light was held under the survivor's tree at the 9/11 memorial. So we have, like, this group of, you know, like, like this ragtag group of people, you know, some of them who have been, like, on their feet, getting their asses kicked for 2 days straight. And, you know, then you have, like, you know, all the varying degrees. You got a couple, you know, some folks who did the Tough Light, some folks who just did the Light, and then you got Shadows, and then, like, all these other people are coming over and, like, checking this out, right? Like, random people are just kind of, like, hanging on and just, like, trying to hear and, like, what's going on. And, you know, it was such a, you know, it was a one, like, such a great way to end that, where it was, like, at a place of, you know, I don't want to say rebirth, but it was at, like, a place of, you know, of continuation, of moving forward. You know, so all these people who had, you know, 40 pounds on their backs, plus, I mean, if you're not too smart about packing yourself, if you know, all these people had all this weight, did all the miles, did all the PT, got soaked, got cold, and then, you know, to end it, like, together was just, like, phenomenal and, you know, really important. And then, like, after it was over, it was nothing but, like, smiles and hugs and patches and, you know, like the standard post event, you know, that high.
And you took some truly incredible pictures from that event. I've got a, obviously, awesome job to you for taking that, but got to give a shout out to GoRuck for hiring you to go out there to do that, because that was a
thanks, GoRuck.
a good call on their part. So they should probably do that again.
Thank you. I'm currently working. So today is the 10th. I'm planning on dropping a blog post tomorrow on the 11th, with a good stack of my photos. I've already handed my selection over to Nick at HQ. I did that on Sunday night after the light. I'm planning on dropping a bunch. And I've shared a few with you. I'm really grateful for GoRuck doing that. And it was, it's fun carrying my gear around New York City.
So I would love to talk about gear for a little bit too. I'm such a gearhead when it comes to everything, whether it's, you know, backpacks or microphones or photography. I mean, I've got within eyesight right now, I've got three bodies and maybe six lenses, mm-hmm. and So I love getting into this kind of stuff. But I guess starting out and going in, I mean, you rocked a lot during this event, this HTL weekend. I know when a lot of people plan for events, they put a lot of time and thought into the gear they're bringing as a participant. But for Shadows, you know, it's not always the case because Shadows aren't, in quotes, doing the event, but they're certainly doing the miles. So
yeah,
I would love to hear about, you know, your gear selection, your how you prep yourself to shadow an event.
Sure. So how I prepped myself, I've kind of, you know, like we spoke about, I've had like a little bit of a hiatus from the GoRuck community. So I kind of got thrown into this. So as far as like me prepping myself physically, there has been about zero. Before I went and shadowed the heavy in Detroit, I did like two rucks the week before because I wasn't confirmed, you know, until pretty close to that date. So I had like two rucks in and they were like 3 and 5 miles or something like that. So like I knew that I was going to get torn up. So it was just kind of like, just, you know, get in and go. However, when it comes to gear in my kit, I'm always changing this. Like I'm always evaluating. I'm always trying to make it better and easier for me to use, right? So because that's you know, it's what you need to do. You always evaluate. You always, you know, you say, you know what, this, you know, these shoes aren't working for me. They're smoking my feet. You know, they're tearing me up where they shouldn't be. I need to make a change. So it's the same thing with camera gear, right? I mean, every day is fucking Wednesday, man. Like, what boot should I wear? And you have to evaluate that for yourself and find out what works. So as far as my gear, my first ruck was a GR0 when they still had GR0s. So for the folks that are listening that don't know what the GR0 is, essentially it's a GR1 that's the 20 liter. Because I'm like, you know, 5'10", so I'm not like super tall. And I was like, you know, I can get away with this ruck like for my event. So that's what I use for some of my events. And I've used that to shadow. I've also used my GR2. The first generation of the GR2. I forgot what the displacement on that is. I think it's 40.
Yep, 40.
And then I also, I recently, which I think this is going to be, depending on travel, I recently got a GR1 26 liter that I had in New York that worked pretty damn well. So as far as like bag goes, you know, I'm using the GoRuck stuff. Obviously, their shit's bomb-proof. My GR0 is, you know, it's nice and broken in. It's done a few events with me and it's shadowed a lot and it's been all over the place. It's, you know, it's like that nice soft, that Cordura is quote unquote soft now, you know? So that's why they keep everything in. You know, as far as non-photo stuff, you know, I've got my Source Bladder in there. I just recently bought I always carry a 3 liter because I consume a ton of water. I bought like the stubby, like the structured Source Bladder recently, which has made a huge difference. Other than like the really long 3 liter one with the cap on it, the thing's obnoxious and takes up way too much space. So I changed that up, which really helped. And then, you know, I just have a couple of dry bags that I keep, a foot kit that I put together, Leuco tape, which I'm probably going to be also changing out. And then I bring snacks, man. It's all about snacks. You gotta have snacks. So I have a really dope Danny Boy, Kadri Danny Boy, gave me a koozie when I shadowed class 1134 in Detroit. And the reason I shadowed that is because this dude named Mark Appleton, who is a bad motherfucker. This guy's a T4 paraplegic. He has no movement below his like sternum. So essentially he has like his chest and his shoulders and his neck, right? And that's all he can like move. And he completed a fucking challenge in Detroit. It was amazing. I shot the event. So Kadri Danny Boy, because I was there the entire time, he gave me this really rad koozie that says, you know, Kadri Danny Boy Shadow Crew, which I bring that to every single event that I shadow. It's generally wrapped around a Bang energy drink or a Monster or something. And then let's see, I always have a flashlight with me. And then what all shadows should do, you need reflectives on your rucks. You have to have reflectives on your rucks because people need to be able to see you. Because guess what, guys? Go ruck happens at night. So you got to have reflectives or a light or something. And then, you know, the standards, you know, rain jacket, you know, a lot of the same stuff that the teammates, you know, the team members have. Essentially, it's like all the kit that you would have for an event without a weight plate. I guess that was a really long time to say that. I'll get into the camera gear, in my photo gear. So what I've done recently, I don't like shooting long lenses. They weigh a lot and I just don't like them. I don't think that for these events that you need one. So I leave my 7200 at home. And then I run two camera bodies. I have two Sony A7 III's that I bring, and then I have them out and with a lens on them. So that way I can just, instead of having to change lenses, I just change cameras. I like to shoot prime lenses. I am looking at a zoom lens that I might be picking up pretty soon here. I really wish I would have had a wider lens in New York for it, but I shoot prime, so I have like a 28 mil, a 55 mil, and an 85 mil that I use that are all Sony native. And then I carry, you know, batteries, SD cards, stuff like that. I purchased this rad little camera pouch. And dude, like, you know, all of us, a lot of us are gear whores, right? Like, we know the time that we invest sitting in front of a computer going like, man, what solution can I find for this problem, right? So my thing was finding a camera insert that worked for me that could just go into my ruck so my lenses wouldn't just be like, I used to use like a field pouch, one of the GoRuck field pouches, but I'm not like too keen on how they're laid out. Like the size of them doesn't work very well for my lenses. And so I was like looking. So I found a little Tenba pouch. I think it's called the BYOB 9, and it's like bring your own bag. Yeah. BYOB insert 9. And it's this rad little, you know, rectangle that completely collapses. That'll flatten out when you pull all the dividers out of it. So for travel, when I'm, you know, going on, look, you know, traveling to the city or wherever I'm going, I pull all the dividers out, I flatten it out, and I throw it in my ruck with my clothes and whatever. And then I have a separate bag for all my camera gear. I get to my hotel room, pull out all my camera gear, dump all the shit out of my ruck, and then start assembling my kit within my ruck. And then I also carry a couple of dry bags because we all need dry socks. And I also have a dry bag that my little camera pouch can fit into. So that way, you know, if we get like a heavy downpour, like I'm not having to worry about my camera gear. I tried grabbing like I was saying earlier, we always need to evaluate our stuff. I have these Peak Design camera covers. I thought they would work, but it turns out that they suck. They don't work for shooting, like, you know, shooting these events. It was pretty rainy on Friday, so I was kind of concerned. But I find that as long as my cameras are on my shoulders and like under my arms, the rain isn't going to be too significantly damaging or damaging at all to the cameras. And otherwise, I just kind of just try to keep them dry. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty simple loadout. Like, I've been shooting for years, and I know the gear that I like, and I know the gear that I use and that I'm good with. So it's just, I kind of, you know, riff off of that and go from there and just kind of adapt my kit to the situation.
So I've got some gear questions for you based on what you've just gone through. So you use the Tenba 9, which is, it looks like an awesome, awesome insert. I've got some cheaper inserts, which were kind of hit or miss. So do you, you have a GR0, you have a GR1 and a GR2. Do you find that the Tenba 9 is a good size for those three?
Dude, so this is the first time I've run it, and this is also the first time I've run a GR1 for shadowing. My GR1 is like, I didn't want to be the dude who showed up with a brand new ruck, so I've gotten a bunch of mileage in with my GR1 and, you know, try to beat it up a little bit before showing up. But the GR1 fits the 10-9 really well with how I use it. So what I do is I keep that on the very bottom of the ruck, and then it gives me enough space on the side where I can pop my energy drink in And then I can just stack stuff on top of it because the rest of the stuff is usually pretty light. So as far as the size in a GR1, it's fantastic. It was a little puffy. I have like my puffy coat. Like it was relatively chilly on Friday night during the heavy. We got a little bit of rain and it was pretty damn windy. And we were like under an overpass while the team was doing their 12 miler. And so, you know, I wanted to have a couple of layers so that way I could stay warm. So my puffy coat doesn't pack down that well, but like I had that in my ruck and my rain jacket. So like when I have all that stuff in the GR1, it gets kind of fluffy, but it works pretty damn well on the GR1. I think if you're doing like a warm weather and if you're not like really concerned about layers or anything like that, I think it would be fine in the GR0 or the 21 liter GR1. I think it would be fine in that. And then the GR2 would be, you know,
it definitely fits.
Mansion living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. It's a good little pack. It's a good little, thing. And like I put I have like a 28,000 milliamp hour, battery, power bank that I threw in there. And I had, this trip is also a little different too, because I ran a GoPro for a little while I was shooting. So I had that on like a hot shoe mount of my camera while I was shooting. So I was also shooting a little bit of video. I'm considering doing a video about what my loadout is for events. So I just wanted to have a little bit of B-roll that I could throw in there. So like GoPro is in there, GoPro batteries, SD cards. For my SD cards, I have a Think Tank pocket rocket. It's a little unfold, like 3 or 4 panels. It has like a little bunch of little plastic panels where you can put your SD cards in. I love Think Tank stuff. Their stuff has been fantastic to me for years. My dedicated camera bags are both Think Tank. I have the Shapeshifter, the OG version of the Shapeshifter when I have like a huge kit. And then I have the Perception Pro backpack for my mirrorless stuff. But yeah, the 10x9 is fantastic for just tossing in your ruck. And if you just pair it up with a good dry bag, then you'll be good to go.
Awesome. As much as we love gear, we love one piece of gear that will solve multiple problems. So having something that you can put into a GR1 to turn a GR1 into a kind of a camera bag is always nice to have.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. And that definitely helps. And that's why I was specifically looking for inserts. Cause like, I don't want to bring my camera bag I can't bring a camera bag. Right. Because then I don't have room for a bladder. I don't have room for a change of socks. I don't have room for a foot kit. I don't have room for snacks. Like I need this other stuff. It's like I needed to find a way to adapt my ruck to what I was doing. So in that little insert, and there's tons of them. Right, you can look like Crumple has them. Peak Designs has inserts. You know, there's all these different. You know, there's tons of them. So
theirs are all right.
I think Peak Design is highly overrated. You know, I ordered a couple of their straps, and I was incredibly underwhelmed by them. I returned them. The one thing that I do have from Peak that I do really like is their quick disconnect adapters. I don't know what they're called. I generally run the Domke gripper straps, and it makes it super easy. So that way, because I'm kind of a hybrid shooter, so I do shoot some video. So I want to be able to disconnect my straps for travel and for if I'm like running a gimbal or something. So their disconnects are really nice, but I just have like the straps that I've been wearing for years. So like, but otherwise, man, like I think there are so many solutions out there that if you're going to Peak, you just want to get Peak because it's Peak. You know, it's like I saw a dude at, I was shooting an event for the New York Times. I saw a dude in, walking around the area where I was shooting this event, and he had a GR0 on or something. I'm like, oh, like cool ruck, man. I'm like, are you doing an event? He's like, no, I just got it because I liked it, you know? So, I mean, and that's fine. And that's cool. But it's like, I don't like buying shit just because it is what it is. I like using, you know, getting stuff because it has purpose and it fits my needs, you know, and what I need it to do.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I got the Peak shoulder bag for a dedicated camera bag, and I gave it away.
Yeah, dude, they're turds.
I sent it to a friend and he still got it. I was like, he asked if I want it back. I said, he was moving. I said, no.
Oh, dude, they're turds. You know, your kit is entirely personal. So it's really understanding how you shoot, you know, or how your body works, or how your mind works, or how you like the interactions that you have with your kit. You know, it's part of that trial and error where it's like, you know, I've been wearing right socks for a long time, like the double layer socks. And I'm really starting to think that they don't work that well for me because my feet are still getting thrashed, right? I'm still taping my feet up, you know, so it's like you have to reevaluate. So it's like, you know what? The strap keeps falling off my shoulder. It's really annoying. Get rid of it. You know, my GR0, I fucking love that bag, man. That's my ruck. Like I'm buying my wife a ruck. Like I just bought a bullet and it's like just like for EDC and like we love going to amusement parks and stuff. So it'd be perfect for that. But I want to get her like a good ruck for rucking. And she has like a 5'11 Rush 12, which is, you know, at best. So like, I'm like, I want to get her a ruck. So I let her try my GR0. And this is my wife. There is no way my wife will ever have my GR0. That's my ruck, you know? So it's like, it's just finding what works for you, what suits you.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure at one point in time, I posted about it and called it my mister.
I mean, you build attachment with those first packs. I know I do at least. And
dude, I have my GR0, my GR2, man. Like, I'm supposed to be doing some cold weather events too, so I'll probably be running my GR2 for that, simply because I can fit more shit in it, like with more layers and heavier stuff. So, but I mean, I'm really loving my GR1, and that's gonna hold a, you know, that's now gonna hold a special place in my heart because of, you know, where I shot with it, and you know, like the what I was able to experience with it.
So I know we've covered a ton of topics here. We got into, you know, your photography. We got into shadowing events, being a respectable shadow. We got into the HTL that you recently shot, gear. Is there anything that we might have missed that you want to make sure that we cover before we close out?
The one thing that I want to touch on is like, I don't want to be the grumpy go ruck photographer, right? Like, I don't want to be the guy that's like, you know what, you shadows, you know, just need to go away. Like, that's not me, right? So like we kind of talked about, like it's really rad to have that support team there. It's really rad to have your friends or your family, whomever there, like that you can kind of look at and be like, you know, yeah, I'm doing this. And that's, you know, it's fantastic. And, you know, having done events, you know, I'm able to look at, you know, look back and think of, you know, like it was cool having, you know, people that I knew there, like supporting me, like silently supporting me. But it's like, I know that, and I know, and then like people who do the events know that inside the shadows are silently screaming and cheering you on. They're saying, you know what, we know you can do this. You're going to do this. We believe in you. And that's so rad to have that. So I think that shadows have a role for sure, but that does not supersede the event. So I just think that it's, you know, we have to be really mindful of our interactions with an event. We have to be very mindful of our interactions with the event participants. And when I say we have to be mindful of our interaction with event participants, that means don't fucking interact with the participants. It means keep your distance, observe, give them a wink or a thumbs up or a, you know, whatever, if that, you know, if that suits you. But, you know, listen directly to cadre, stay out of the way. The cadre talks to you, cool, dope, have fun, have a conversation. Otherwise, just, you know, like I said, it's that old school rule where it's, you know, you don't speak unless spoken to. So, and one more thing that drives me absolutely crazy. I don't know if you're gonna be able to mix this in or whatever, but when shadows are having a full-blown conversation, when cadre are talking and discussing things like movements and stuff to the team, like I'm not part of the team, but if it were me in that team, that would really piss me off because I'm trying to pay attention to cadre and then shadows are back there like cackling, you know, like a little, like a gaggle of hens. Like that's completely inappropriate. Like if you want to have a conversation and you want to have like a chat and you want to get loud, step off. Like go somewhere where it's not going to be heard and have respect for what's happening. Just be respectful, be thoughtful, be mindful, be cognizant of your actions and how it's going to affect the event and the people who are participating in the event.
And just to add on to that real quick, there are people who are in that event that might be their first event. This might be their first experience with GORUCK. And so just always remembering that, you know, if you had experienced this at your first event, how would you come out and be respectful?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's the person who's sitting in the movie theater during fucking Avengers Endgame, like, you know, smacking their lips, chewing loud on their popcorn and, you know, ruining plot lines because you can't hear it. You know, be aware, be empathetic. It's like when you did your event, when you were there listening to, you know, a story like Cadre talking about what they've experienced, right? When they're sharing like a big part of themselves with you, and then you have a group of people who are back there laughing and joking and doing whatever, making noise, you know, that's going to ruin that can potentially ruin that experience for you. But more importantly, like, that's incredibly rude, right? So it's just be mindful.
After the interview wrapped up, Tim and I were still talking for quite a bit longer, and he mentioned the story about a shadow experience he had that he really enjoyed and asked me to include it at the end of the interview. So here is that story from Tim.
One thing that's really rad about some of these events is, like, in Detroit, they were doing their 12-miler, and I had my feet, like, it was near a park, it was connected to a park, so, like, I had my feet up on a tree, and, like, I'm just, like, laying on the ground, I had my cap over my face, just kind of, like, taking a minute, and then, you know, they get back, and then, you know, a couple of people in the team are like, hey, you know, how are you doing? You know, they said, you know, I'd been there for the, you know, this was probably, like, hour 18 or 20 or something, and they're like, how are you doing? Like, are you doing okay? Like, are you good? Like, you're doing all these miles with us, like, are you doing good, you know? And it was rad to have that because, you know, it's part of the community, right? So it was one of those things where that kind of, you know, it's the community. It's like, you know what, this is team and I'm not on the team, but it was still like, hey, are you okay? Like, you holding up okay? You're doing good? You know, so that was like a buddy check, you know?
That's nice.
Yeah, dude, it was phenomenal. And it was like, you know, super kind. And you know, some of the folks in Detroit, like, I know through other folks or whatever, but regardless, for someone to take a minute while they're sitting there after they just did a, you know, a part of their 12-miler, they're like, hey, how are you? Like, are you good? You know?
Yeah. And I mean, especially being a photographer, right? I don't call myself a photographer, but you feel, I've shot events and you feel like,
yeah,
like a piece that's not there. In the sense that this whole thing is happening and your job is to not be there, but to be there and to capture it. And no one really pays attention to you, which is how things should be. So getting that, you know, that note, it's kind of unexpected and it just probably feels pretty good.
Totally. And you know, and I've had people go like, man, shit, you should get a patch too. Which, and to be clear, I have to be explicitly clear on this. I will never, ever, ever take a patch for an event that I shadow a photograph, ever, period. So, you know, I have people who are like, oh man, you're doing all the miles with us, you should get a patch. It's like, no man, I'm not under that weight. I'm not moving those logs. I'm not moving as a team. I'm not, like, you know, I'm not doing any of that stuff. So, but yeah, it's, you know, my career has been what you just explained. My career is being in places that I'm not supposed to be, hoping that people act like I'm not there so I can document it and tell that story. That's my role in life. Like, my role in life is to help people communicate their stories. And whether that's with listening to somebody, if that's someone that just needs to get something off their chest that's completely separate from making photos, or if that's being there and documenting something that somebody is going through, has gone through, or that, like, that's my role in life. That's what I do. So, yeah, it's nice to have somebody be like, hey, are you doing good? You okay? Sure. But, you know, it's like, that's when I'm there, man, like, that's where I'm supposed to be.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. This has been episode number 118. And again, thank you for downloading it. I really hope you enjoyed this interview with Tim. I had an awesome time talking with him, and it'd be great to have him back on after he's shadowed more events, taken more amazing pictures, and documented more of the community. You can get links to anything that we talked about during this episode at alldayruckoff.com/118. And I highly, highly recommend that you go there and check out the links, because I've got links in there to his website where you can see all of the pictures he's taken. There's a direct link to multiple blog posts that he's written with amazing, just amazing pictures, including the 9/11 pictures that he just most recently took for GoRuck. If you don't want to go to the show notes, you can find everything that he's taken at timothygalloway.com. But again, we just recommend you hit the show notes up for links to all of those pictures. If you want to support the All Day Ruck Off podcast, I would truly, truly appreciate that. You can leave reviews on Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page. Just search for All Day Ruck Off. Those are very, very much appreciated. You can also support through the All Day Ruck Off online store at alldayruckoff.com/store. And then finally, you can support through Patreon, patreon.com/alldayruckoff. There's a couple bonuses for doing it that way with some special offers that come and go. So it's been fun. There have been 3 bonus episodes so far through Patreon, and then there's some bonus content that's going to be coming from this episode, so that'll be a 4th. So you can find all that stuff in the show notes, alldayruckoff.com/118 or patreon.com/alldayruckoff. Thank you so much for all of the incredible support. It's truly, truly appreciated, and I can't wait to talk to you next week. As always, don't forget, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, and drink hard, ruck harder.